You may be seated. Well, good morning. It's great to see you all here as we come and we worship God. Kind of love that song, that last song we sang. Actually, all three of them were fantastic. But it's interesting to think about how God is just drawing us to Himself. How He is longing for us to become so intimate with Him, to know Him, to experience Him. To really experience His essence. And His essence is what? It's love. God is love. It's who He is. And He longs for that. I'm glad that you chose to come and worship with us today. Want to pray for Pastor Greg today. All right, he's taking some downtime. Maybe the Lord's forcing him to a little bit, but it looks like he may even have the flu a little bit. So he's not doing too well. Matter of fact, Lord, we just ask you to be with Greg as he rests at home. Lord, I pray he gets some rest at home. I know, Lord, he's wanting to be here, but Lord, we just ask you, bless him, that you would take this, all the flu symptoms, everything away. Lord, that you would even cleanse their house, Christy's house. Lord, that no one else gets sick, that he just recovers quickly and is strong. Lord, I pray during this time that you continue to work in his life and speak to him. Thank you, Lord, for Greg. In Jesus' name. You know, I got to tell you, I love Greg. I'm so glad that he and I are friends. More than friends, really, brothers. I have just grown to love this man from Texas. I never thought I'd love a guy from Texas. I confess. No. Yeah, man crush. I'm not going to go there. I'm sorry. I'm not going to go that far. We got. There has to be a limit. God's used Greg to inspire me, and I'm thankful for him. So we do ask God's blessing on him. You know, one of the things I was thinking about as we were singing those songs about growing deeper in God. You know, there's things in our lives oftentimes that seem to block that, inhibit that. And God looks to walk with us through them, to come out the other side even closer. You know, one thing that this last couple of years, you've all walked with Adrian and I and what we've gone through in the last year and a half. I've got an amazing wife who is just completely transformed. Now, she's going to share her testimony with some college students at Schenectady Community College this Wednesday. And she's going to get in front of people and talk. It's amazing. Make eye contact with them. And she's just an incredible woman. And if you don't know Adrian, she would never do that before. She could barely sit in a place like this with people all around, the anxiety. And God has completely transformed her life and is continuing to do that. But, you know, one of the things that I was amazed a year and a half ago when we sat with this woman, we went through this thing with it's called Christ in Action Prayer. And I watched God remove anxiety out of Adrian's life in a matter of 20 minutes to a half hour. It was out the roof to just a little bit was left. And it was incredible as this woman that we were seeing, Dr. Sorello, she led Adrian through this experience in encountering what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. I was so impressed with it that I decided to take a class from her. Because I was thinking, wow, this is amazing. And even some of the things, and when I would work through it with this lady, boom, God would just take things away from me that he wanted to take away. Speak some words into me. Matter of fact, I was just doing it this last one week there, Wednesday, and looking at some anxious things that were going on and going around in my life at the time, last week at the time, you know, waiting back. And as we started this, you know, she asked me, what was I experiencing? I said, you know, actually, all I'm thinking is I just wish God would talk to me. Wish he would just speak to me. And all of a sudden, I hear these words, I am who I am. And I knew exactly what God meant when he said that to me. I'm God, and I'll work in you any way I please because I'm God. Don't tell me what to do. You know, it's like, I said, okay. And it came later on that those words, I am who I am. meant that he was that rock in my life, and I could trust him in that. But as we walked through this Christ in Action prayer, was incredible. I've seen it happen. In fact, because of this class, I decided I wanted to learn this, because it's like I wanted to become a prayer counselor who could share this with people. Because I'm just seeing the Holy Spirit touch people's life. I was talking with a pastor, he's a friend of mine, and he was going through a tremendous amount of confusion, anxiety, and fear. Believe it or not, as pastors, that happens, you know. And as I'm walking, we're walking through this thing, he all of a sudden he goes, "Wow, wow, wow!" And I'm going, "What? What? What?" He goes, "It's gone." I go, "What's gone?" "The confusion, the fear, the anxiety. He's taken it away. I've never experienced this before." So it's incredible. So the reason I say all that is I think God wants to draw us into a deeper relationship with him, where we experience in him and what he longs to. And you may be going through some different things in your life. If you would like Adrian and I to sit down and do a prayer counseling session with you, this Christ in Action prayer, we would be glad to do that, because we've seen God work in that. That's the end of that commercial. We are in week 7 of, what are we doing? The Apostles' Creed. Week 7, I was thinking about this today. As you look at the Apostles' Creed, I haven't told Greg this. He's probably going to watch the video. Sorry about this, Greg. But I probably could have done it in 4 weeks. You know, we're in week 7, and you know, it's still going to go on till after Easter into to April, and because I would look at it, you know, I see 4 main sections in it. You talks about God the Father. It talks about Jesus. It gets into the Holy Spirit, and then it talks about the church. You know, and I could have just knocked this out quick, but I appreciate what we've been going through. It's been good. Matter of fact, let's do this. Let's stand. We're going to look at the Apostles' Creed, and we're going to read it together. And then we're going to talk about it some more. So let's stand up and let's read the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God. You may be seated. So we've been talking about, as we look at this creed, this is an expression. This is words that we say we believe, and we believe them because of the Scripture. And we're real clear that this Apostles' Creed isn't Scripture, but that it's statements about Scripture, about who God is. And if you remember, when we first started this, Greg started talking about the first 2 words, I believe. And we took those words about I believe, and you can put the Apostles' Creed back up there. What does that mean? What does it mean to believe? Is it it's some sort of a cognitive thought? Gee, I think it's like this, so that's what... No, and we realize that's not what belief means. Belief means it's within us. It's who we are. It engulfs us. We went to 2 Corinthians 5:7. And it talks about we live by faith and not by sight. The New Century Version says, I do what I believe. What you believe dictates what you do. Matter of fact, here, let's do a little survey. How many of you think that overseas missions and spreading the gospel is important and it's worth giving money to? How many of you believe that's true? Well, most of you do. The rest of you should raise your hands. And let's try that again. How many of you? No. So we did this thing, and we believe it. Okay, don't raise your hands, but how many of you give to overseas missions? Do you see what Sue gives? Okay, you see, she's up there, she's ready, I do. But we can say yes, we all believe it's good, but if we do it, we really believe it. Matter of fact, I'm sure you've heard pastors say before, you show me your checkbook, and I'll show you what you really believe in. I was teasing someone last night. Actually, my nephew happened to be there, and I know he has a nice motorcycle in his garage. You know, I said, obviously Nathan believes in this motorcycle. He has it in his garage, you know? And everybody laughed a little bit, and I said, now, I don't have a motorcycle in my garage. And then Marcia was there. She goes, yeah, you have it in someone else's garage. And I said, you're right. I have a motorcycle in someone else's garage. But it's not really about those things. It's about how we live our life based on God's word because of who we believe he is and how he impacts our life. Now, I could have gone, how many of you believe that we should tell our neighbors about Jesus? You know, oh, yeah, we should do that. All right, how many people do we really believe it? So that's what we talked about when we started saying, I believe, and we were looking at the rest of these phrases in the Apostles' Creed, is saying, this is what we believe. We got into the second week talking about God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and we got talking about that, and you know, we can come down on a lot of different sides on how God created, but we all settle down that God created. Did he create in 6 literal days? Did he take 6 literal days and somehow or another in his scheme of economy stretched them out? Was it 1,000 or days like 1,000 years and 1,000? I don't believe any of us were there. But we take by faith that God created, and we stand on that. Out of nothing, he spoke everything into being. That's who he is. We see him in that. Then we get into talking about Jesus. We talked about Jesus coming into the world, fully God, fully man. We talked about, oh great, kids in here. Skip that one. No, we talked about Mary being a virgin and being with child. How did that happen? It didn't happen by any natural means. It happened by the Holy Spirit overshadowing. What's that mean? I don't know. But he did it so that Jesus was born fully God, fully man. For what purpose? So that he would suffer under Pontius Pilate. So that he would take all our sin, all our shame, everything that we have and ought to go through. And he died on the cross, experiencing all of that hell would mean by being separated from God. For the first time, Jesus is separated from the Father. That's why you hear him say, my God, why did you forsake me? He who knew no sin became sin in our place. He died. This phrase talked about descended into hell, and Greg talked a little bit about that just, I think, last week. What did all that mean? Where did he go? And we can get into some scriptures. You can look at what Jesus had to say about that. He said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in heaven? He didn't say heaven, did he? He said, where's paradise? What's all that about? And we can go back and look at Jesus when he was talking about the rich man and Lazarus, and they're in what they called Hades, the place of the dead, and the chasm that was between them. And hey, would you send Lazarus back and tell my brothers about this place? And Abraham said, hey, he's got the law and the prophets. And they got all they need. Where is that place? I don't know. What's it like? I don't know. I haven't been there. And Jesus isn't there either, is he? Why? Because he rose again. We're getting ready to celebrate that in a month, where we're going to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. He who was dead is alive now. He rose again, giving new life. Giving new life to our dead bodies. We are dead in sin, and now we're alive in Christ. Today we're going to talk a little bit about he ascended into heaven. And I got thinking about this a little bit. Where's heaven? What's that like? I don't know. I haven't been there yet. And I got to tell you, I'm a little skeptical of people who say that they have died and gone there and come back, and they tell me about all the people they saw and all these things. And I'm a little skeptical about it because nowhere in Scripture do we see that. We have seen people who have died or gone to heaven. Paul talked about going to the third heaven. And well, what did he talk about? Did he talk about, oh, gee, I saw Aunt John or Aunt Jimmy. Aunt, no, I guess it's not Aunt, is it? Uncle Jimmy or something. He didn't do any of that stuff. You know, he didn't, we're not going to go there, Marianne. He didn't talk about it. He talked about God's glory. I remember having this discussion with my mom when I was a kid. Mom, what's heaven like? I don't know, Jay. Can we ask some creation questions when in Job it said the beast of the field, was he really talking about dinosaurs? You know, what was all, you know? And mom goes, Jay, I have a feeling when we get to heaven and we see God in all his majesty and all his glory, nothing else is going to matter. You're not going to care about it. Yeah, will you know all those things fully? You'll know them, but they're not going to matter. Will you be looking for relatives, loved ones, pets? None of that's going to matter because you're going to experience Jesus fully, the Father fully, the Spirit fully for who they are, and that's all that's going to matter. So Jesus ascended into heaven. Where's that? How many of you remember the movie came out a long time ago, Forrest Gump? Anyone watch that movie? I got a few believers. Good. Do you remember he's in his lieutenant's apartment, and they're watching TV, Lieutenant Dan. And Dan had been in Vietnam, and he had his legs blown off, and he's kind of a mean, nasty, bitter guy. And you remember what Lieutenant Dan says to Forrest? He says, Forrest, has you found Jesus yet? Can anyone do a Forrest Gump voice, by the way? Anyone here? I can't either. I'm not even going to try. But imagine the show, and Forrest Gump says, I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him. You know, where is he? That one fell. That was boom. Let's just jump into this. Four realities of the ascension. Four realities of Jesus' ascension. Number one, I guess I'm supposed to read some scripture first, aren't we? Let's go back and do that. That's why you didn't move it there, Hunter. Thanks. Acts 1. You want to turn in your Bibles? There's a Pew Bible in front of you. If you have a Bible, turn into it. It's going to be up on the screen. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, take the Bible in front of you and read it. Acts 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. They're talking about here, after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus is walking around. Many people are seeing him. Sometimes it's groups of three, maybe 12, maybe 50. At one time, there was 500 that was witnessing. So he's talking about there's proof that Jesus is alive and resurrected because he's walking around. You have witnesses, right? When you want to know something is true, you see if there's witnesses to it that can attest to it. Recently, we saw something kind of sad, right, with UAlbany and the girls on the bus and claiming some accusations, and they found were not true. How did they know it wasn't true? Well, the videos were witnesses, but people who were there were witnesses. So you find out truth by the witnesses. Luke, when he's writing this, he's talking about that with many proofs. Jesus appeared to them during the 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore your kingdom of Israel? Okay, so Jesus is saying, look, You're going to go back to Jerusalem. You're going to wait. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going away. The Holy Spirit's going to come. We're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks, what the Holy Spirit does, what his role is to lead us, to guide us, to equip us, to enable us, to teach us all the things about Jesus. He goes, wait there. But what are the disciples doing here? They're looking at, wait a minute. We had hopes that you were going to restore Israel and make Israel the kingdom of the earth, and everyone is going to be subject to us now. Matter of fact, they still don't get it, do they? They still don't understand. That's okay, because a lot of times I don't get it, and I don't understand. You remember the road, I think it was the Emmaus road, when they were, was it Emmaus? Damascus, I forget which, but some of the disciples were walking on the road. Which one was it? Emmaus, yeah. Should go with it. I always think first, don't question it. They're on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus came up with them, and he didn't let them see who he was, and they're talking, and it was interesting, because they're talking about, you know, what's going on, and Jesus says, what's going on? Where you been, man? Haven't you seen everything? You know, they killed him. And then some of the people are saying, our people are saying he's back to life. What is all that about? And Jesus began to tell them the scriptures, everything concerning himself, everything in the law, everything in the prophets. And they said a fire burned within them as he spoke to him. They sat down to have a meal, and as he broke the bread and the fish and the things having the meal, instantly they saw who he was, and he left them. We had hoped he was going to do this. And here in Acts, they're asking him again, is this the time? Jesus goes on to say, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took them out of their sight. So Jesus, again, is reaffirming, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. How many days was it between the Ascension and Pentecost? Anyone know that by anything? 10 days. 10 days. Ascension Thursday and Pentecost Sunday, 10 days in between. It's important to read these things and know these things. But the Holy Spirit, he's sending the Holy Spirit. And then as they're all there, Jesus is slowly being taken up in a cloud. I wonder what that cloud was like. What if that was the same type of cloud that he led the Israelites by? Or I wonder if it was like the cloud of God's glory being taken up. Slowly. He didn't just disappear. Slowly, he's taken him up. And I can just imagine the disciples standing there, looking up. All of a sudden, their jaw drops. Finally, there was these, as they were gazing into the heavens as he went, behold, two men stood them by them in white robes. Probably angels wearing these white robes, okay? He said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come the same way you saw him go into heaven. Guys, dudes, what are you doing? He told you what to do. Go back to Jerusalem, but be assured, he's coming back. I'm looking forward to that. Imagine that cloud coming down and Jesus coming down. I'm looking forward to that. Okay, four realities of the ascension. For number one, Jesus ascended to a real place. Jesus ascended to a real place. And I think that's why the scripture is really significant. It wasn't like he's standing in front of them, all of a sudden, boom, he's gone. Where'd he go? They watched him slowly go up. They're seeing him go up till he was out of sight, understanding that he was going to a real place. A lot of times, we hold dear John 14, right? Because Jesus says, look at, trust in God, trust in me. He says, I'm going to be with you for a little while. And then I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. In this place, my Father's house, there's many rooms in it. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back to take you to be where I am. We get this idea of heaven. What's heaven like? I don't know. But I know that Jesus has been there. And what is he doing there? He's preparing a place for us there. Heaven is a real place. The ascension is a real place. We look at what Wayne Grudem says. He says, the narrative describes an event that is clearly designed to show the disciples that Jesus went to a place. He did not suddenly disappear from them, never to be seen by them again, but gradually ascended as they were watching. A cloud, apparently the cloud of God's glory, took him from their sight. Jesus is in a real place. Heaven is for real. For real. I don't know if it's like the book or the story, Heaven is for Real. Heaven is for real. Jesus is there. It is a place prepared for us, those who have Christ in them, that we will be there too. The second thing that we see here, Jesus received glory and honor that had not been his before as God-man. As we look at this, Jesus had glory before. He had always been with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He had always been with them. He's experiencing that glory. And when he became man, he's still fully God, but he's still fully human. He didn't have that same glory. But we look in John 17, verse 5. What does Jesus say? And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory I had before the world existed. Jesus saying, God, again, glorify me and with your presence. Incidentally, I think that's huge for us. Where do we experience more of God? In his presence. That's why worship is so important. Not only just worship and singing, but worship of reading the word. Worship of living our life out. That Romans 12, 1 and 2, beseech thee, therefore, brethren, in view of God's mercies, offer yourself a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. This is your spiritual act of worship. That's how we worship God. When you go to work tomorrow, when you put the kids on the bus, when you wake the kids up to get on the bus. All those are opportunities to worship God, to be in his existence, to be in his presence, to experience more of him. We read also in Revelation 5, 12 and 13, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. You see, here we get this idea that Jesus is again receiving the glory and honor that is due him because of who he is. God. Excuse me. That's who Jesus is. And now, Jesus is where? In heaven. Where in heaven? At the right hand of God the Father. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus was in my heart. Right? Who's in our heart? The Holy Spirit. Jesus sent his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come and invade our life, to transform us. But Jesus is in heaven. And you know what? Number three, Jesus was seated at the right hand of God. Wayne Grudem says this, the fact that Jesus now sits at the right hand of God in heaven does not mean that his is perpetually fixed. He's perpetually fixed there, or he's inactive. We see that he is active. We see, again, in John 14, he's preparing the place for us. We read other scriptures. What is Jesus doing for us all the time? He's making intercession. You believe this, man? Jesus is praying for you. Each one of us. Jesus is actively praying for us. Jesus isn't up there sitting on his throne and got his cronies there and, hey guys, get me this, get me that. Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for us. He's actively working on our behalf. And you see, and I think that's what brings significance. Jesus' ascension brings significance to our lives today because of that. We see in Timothy that he's our mediator. Jesus is the only one who can mediate between people and God because he alone is both God and man. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus' ascension, this is what he is doing. He's interceding for us. He's mediating between us and God. The image I think of when I hear about this type of mediation is really court of law. You got the judge. We're the defendant. Jesus is our attorney, interceding, mediating between us and God. You have the prosecution. Who's the prosecution? Satan. He's the accuser of who? The brethren, the saints. And Jesus is there defending us before God, making the way, the mediation, so that we can know God and experience God. That's why the ascension is so important. He's gone back to him. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and he's actively caring for us. His ascension is significant in our lives today because of authority. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a so great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the what? The founder. You know, I've read this verse a lot of times. It really hit me last night as I was reading this, about the idea of the founder. He made it. He owns it. He established it. It's his. And because it's his, he has that authority there now to speak in our life, and he gives it to us. Who's the founder of your faith? It's not you. You didn't all of a sudden decide, I'm going to look to follow Jesus. Jesus established it in you. He gave us the ability to have faith so that we can't boast, so that we can't lay claim to it, so we can't say it's ours. It's his. And not only is he the founder of it, but he's the perfecter of it. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Look what he did there. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. How do we get the faith? How was he able to establish it? How was he able to make it happen? It's through the cross. We wouldn't be able to have faith if Jesus didn't go with great joy to the cross. You see the significance of that? Your faith is not your own. It's a gift from God that he put in you, that he installed in you. Think of the disciples. Actually, I remember the man who brought his son to the disciples, and they couldn't cast the evil spirit out of him. And Jesus comes down and says, you all have, where's the faith? You know, why don't you have faith? And the Father says, I do have faith, but help my unbelief. You know, it's okay to ask God to give you a greater measure of faith. As you walk through things, difficult things, and you know what's right, but gosh, it's hard to take that step that's right. You can ask God to give you more faith. That's what he longs to do in your life. The last thing here is presence. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded of you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end." Even to the end of the age. Where is Jesus? Through his Spirit, he is here with us. Through his Spirit, he is with you. Some of you know Adrienne's story a little bit. When she was 10, 11, about the same time that she came to know Jesus up at Camp Pinnacle, she began to experience some physical abuse, and it turned into sexual abuse. We were just talking about it yesterday. She had a real time when she just felt, why wasn't there anyone there with me? Why did I go through along? She told me about I'm glad we live in the house. Actually, the room that the abuse happened isn't there any longer. They had remodeled it. But she remembers sitting up in this other room, alone in the dark. And I think she realized this morning she wasn't alone in the dark there. Jesus was with her in there. And Jesus is with you no matter what you're going through. If you know Jesus, see, there's only two different types of people in the world. We go look in 1 John 5. He says, those who have the Son have life. Those who have Jesus have life. Those who do not have the Son of God don't have Jesus, they don't have life. See, that's what it comes down to. Whether you have the Son. Adrienne went through a really long 4 decades. But Jesus was with you every step of the way, even when she didn't realize it. Even to the point of a year and a half ago, after researching how many pills to take, that whole thing was a miracle. She researched what to take and how many to take it. And instead of stopping her heart or stopping her breathing, it made her go to sleep. The hospital didn't do anything. They didn't pump her stomach. They didn't give her anything. God rescued you. And he rescues us. No matter what the situation, no matter how far gone you think it is, God rescues you. He will never leave you or forsake you. We need to ask him for more faith to help us through it. Because it's who he is. Right? And not only is it who he is, but it's who you are. I remember years ago, it was a long time ago, I was a freshman in high school. Gosh, you know, I'm having, this year's the 35th, what's it called? Since I graduated from high school. I don't know what they call it. 35, I graduated from high school, 35, oh my gosh. Look out, some of you guys aren't even thinking 35. What's it going to feel like to be 35? But I was a freshman in high school, and I loved playing basketball. And I was always playing with guys older than me, bigger than me, because I knew that's how you got better. And we're having this pickup game, and there was this one guy was a senior, and it seems like he always guarded me. And, you know, he'd always push me all around the court, offensive, defensive. He's always being real physical with me, pushing me around. Until one day, we're in the locker room, and he's up at the mirror, and he's combing his hair, and I go up to wash my hands, and I stand up, and I realize I'm as big as he is. Maybe even a little bigger. You know, he never pushed me around the court ever again. Matter of fact, I kind of pushed him around. Why? Because I saw who I was. It's important for us to realize who we are because of God the Creator, because of Jesus, because of Jesus becoming like us, because of Jesus living this life, understanding our pain, understanding hunger, understanding loneliness, understanding all these things, understanding that this road, this path to take our sin, to die on the cross for us, to take our sin and shame, pay the penalty, to die, to rise again, and then to be ascended into heaven. Because of all that, we need to understand who we are as God's children. And as the Holy Spirit fills us, now we go and we live the life He's called us to live. It's a song we sing, no longer a slave to fear. That's not who you are. You're more than your circumstances. You're more than your troubles. You're a child of God. And He longs for you to live that way, regardless of any situation. I don't care what happens. God is more. So today, the band's going to come up in a minute, and we're going to sing some more songs. And again, we have communion over here. We haven't done it in months, and now we're doing it like now it's 3 weeks in a row. And I'm going to invite you to come and take communion as God leads you. And I'm going to ask that you don't just do it because it's there. You don't come and just break a cracker off and take the cup back with you and because it's there or because everyone else is doing it. You do it because what you want to do is be in communion with God. You want to experience more of God. Because there's more of God that can be experienced. He's endless. I'm going to ask that you might prepare for it. To look at your lives. To look at where you haven't been following God. What do we call that? We call it sin. Oh, Jay, you guys are all sin conscious. No, we're cross conscious. We go to the cross and we let God deal with our sin as He draws us closer. So as we take the crackers, we take the juice, that's cracker and juice, let's be honest. But what it represents is Christ's body, His blood, and what He went through so that we can experience Him. And not only experience Him, but it talks about how we experience each other. So we're now in communion with God, in communion with each other. Unity with God and unity with each other. He draws us into that. Can I just do something real quick? Would you just close your eyes for a second? Just bow your head. I'm not going to do anything really weird. But I'm going to just ask a question here. If you're here today and you're hearing me talk about Jesus, about knowing Him, experiencing Him, having the faith that He founded in your life, but you're not sure what that means, and you might be interested in exploring that, I'm just going to ask that you'd look at me and just say, Jay, you know, you'd be saying to me, I would like to talk to someone about that. If that's you, could you just look at me? Lord, I thank You for my sisters and brothers today. I thank You for who You are. And Lord, even now as we prepare for communion, even now as we want to experience You in a greater way, we ask that You would meet us, that You would fill us with Your Spirit. Jesus, we thank You and we bless You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as the band sings and you feel